thing that you can do. And I love these gifts in Ephesians or in Romans, because I think these are the ones that God has given, and many times they're ignored or not looked at. You know, some groups, they want to emphasize these fantastic gifts. Contributing to the needs of others. Now, I know people who have a gift of contributing to the needs of others. Someone has a need, they don't make a big show of it, but they help them. They give it to them. And he says, if you have that gift, give generously. And so I know of people who have the gift of giving, of contributing to the needs of others. And in many cases, this will be quiet. Many of these gifts can be done quietly. They're not something that, I mean, some people have, I've seen them in Papua New Guinea, someone has the gift of healing, and they come over and they have a big campaign, and it's all over the billboards and on TV and everything else. Everyone knows about it. This is a kind of a gift that people may not even know about. In fact, maybe God wants it to be that way. Don't let your right hand know what your left hand's doing. If you're giving, don't let anyone know about it. That's the way it's supposed to be. But some of you can have it, and I would want to encourage you. Use those gifts. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. Okay, I don't think I have the gift of leadership. I don't. I've never run an organization, and I sort of avoided getting elected to any position. I don't like to confront, or I don't like to have to be. I like to people. I would make a good player coach. I like to play, and if I'm in a leadership position, I like to be one of the ones that's playing. And if I have to, I'll make a decision. But I like to sort of have a group team type of thing. So I don't have the gift of leadership. If it is showing mercy is a gift. And again, it's something, it's for someone else. All these things are for someone else. Even the leadership thing. If you don't think of leadership as so much as I'm on top and I'm going to do that. But the idea of a leader, the servant leader, there's a book called Servant Leadership, but the leader who's a servant leadership is wanting to help those under him succeed. Do what they're responsible to do. Help them so that you're focusing on that. So I think all of these are showing mercy. Showing mercy. Someone is in need. Someone has fallen. They've had a problem. Well, we don't go in with harshness. We go in with cheerfulness. Boy, what a difference that can make. And I think of people I've known who've fallen, but they had someone that came in and they helped them cheerfully. And those people were rescued, and they became great servants of Christ. So that's the thing. We can, showing mercy, whatever the situation is, mercy where someone is, it's whether, whatever the need is, we come in and we do it, you do it cheerfully. Now, so as I said before, the fruit of the Spirit is for everyone. The gifts are not for everyone. But, and I think this is about everyone in the church, and everyone in the body of Christ has a gift. And use that gift by God's Spirit to help. But there again, it is for all of us. So if you have a gift of something, it can help all of us. And that's the kind of the body of Christ that we want. We want to see ourselves as helping each other, committed to each other, and meeting their needs. Now, last thing I'd like to look at, and again, is just talking about, okay, now in Ephesians it says these gifts are to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body can be built up. So if you have a gift, it's for service. It's not to put you on top, to make you a famous person or anything. It's to serve. And God wants you to serve everyone. So if you can think, just look and say, okay, whatever gifts that God has given me, it's to serve you people, serve people. Okay. So God gives us so that he wants his body to become mature. Now, you've all, not since I say all of you, many of you have had experience raising children. What is your goal for your children? Your children be mature. And eventually, you be like that, you're going to have grand, you become a grandparent. And you say, you'll say you want your grandchildren to become mature. But that's what a parent wants. I don't know of any parents that say, oh, I want my children to be immature, being frivolous and not working and that sort of thing. No, we want them to be mature. And that's what the Spirit of God has given us, the gifts. He wants us as a church. He wants us to be mature so that we can then help others. So just as your children, then, when they're older, they get married, then you want them to be mature and to be able to raise their children to be mature people. Well, that's what those gifts are for. So they're not for ourselves, but they're for him. The other thing I like, and there's several places, I haven't got them all written down, but there's about three or four places where it says, Christ apportions these. I don't decide what gift I have. He does it. And it's in, let me see, I thought I had it written down, I guess it is. It's in, there's a place in Hebrews that tells it. He gives the gifts according to his will. And these are according to, we don't go out and say, oh God, I want this gift. He does tell us in 1 Corinthians we should go ask for the more important gifts, not just the frivolous ones. Not that any are frivolous, but the more important ones. But three times in the New Testament it tells us that God is the one who apportions what the gifts are. So nothing we can brag about. It was God did it, and we give him the glory. Okay. Now, last thing I like to do, I want to say the commands of the Spirit, and I'll finish with this. But the commands, the Spirit has given us commands to follow. And these are for every, I think, these are for all of us, again. And where are these commands? Right here. Christ is the one who loves me, obeys me. And Christ said, go and make disciples of all nations, teaching and observe all things that I have commanded. Where do you get this? This is one of the reasons I was a Bible translator. You can't become a disciple without the Word of God. And everywhere I go, if people are into the Word, they're going to become, they'll be becoming disciples, or they should be becoming disciples if they have the right attitude. But we need to be into this Word. And I just thought, I'm just going to read some of them. I'm just going to read some of these. But think about, this is what God wants us to do. By His Spirit, we can do this. And I'm going to read Romans 12, 9 to 21, and just think about these. Now, this is something we can all do, but there are specific actions and there are specific attitudes that we need to have, that God wants us to have, and by His Spirit we can do this. So there are actions, attitudes, and your attitudes are going to determine what your actions are going to be. Okay. Love must be sincere. Now, I used to think, well, how can love be anything but sincere? But if you look at Hollywood or the way people understand love today, love is not sincere. It's just something you put on. But love for us needs to be sincere. It really comes. I'm really thinking of that other person and wanting their good. That's sincere love. Hate what is evil. Well, that's again, cling to what is good. So you've got, in many cases, you've got a negative, you hate what is evil, you cling to what is good, you grasp it to what is good. Now, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. And there again, the body of Christ, we should be devoted to each other as we would to be our brothers and sisters. One of the things I enjoyed, like yesterday, I went down to Bob Evans with Dave, and we often have breakfast together on Saturday morning, and he comes in other time, but just have a time, sit there. People came and laughed. We were for 2 hours. But the thing is, it's brotherly love. We're devoted to each other. We like to spend time with each other. Okay, well, that's what he wants us to have. Honor one another above yourselves. Sometimes this may be hard, but just say, hey, honor these other people more than yourself. They're more important than I am. If we can look at that, how does it mean? I honor them. I think of their needs first. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Now, this is important. Now, zeal doesn't mean that we're out preaching on the street corner every time. In fact, I know some people who are doing this where it's illegal, and they can say, well, I'm being persecuted for my faith. I thought, well, if the law says you're not supposed to do that, well, maybe you should go and get a permission to do it first. But that's not the kind of zeal. I think he's saying here, zeal is that you really, this is first thing in my life. This is what's really important to me, and I'm not going to lose that. Now, I know of a lot of people who were saved, became Christians, but the zeal died, and a year later, you didn't see them. But this is what we need to be keeping that. Now, this is what I like. Be joyful in hope. Now, hope is, you don't see hope. You haven't experienced it, but you know it's there. And you think, well, Christ's coming back. Or hope in what your ministry's going to be, what God's going to do. We don't know what's going to happen. But you can be joyful in that. And this is one of these things I've got on. Joyful. There are so many places in the New Testament. Joyful. So joyful in hope. Patient in affliction. We all have afflictions. We need to be patient in those. Faithful in prayer. This is one of the things I think that Shirley taught me. She was a great prayer warrior. And I know of people, older people. Lisa tells me, a lady that's in a rest home somewhere. I have never met her, but she says she just prays. She was a missionary. She just prays all the time. Well, Shirley, she had a prayer list. I remember that, and I got doing the same thing. Put people's names down so that if you forget, you won't forget them. Okay, faithful in prayer. And this should be every day. It seems to me at least every day we should be praying. Share with God's people who are in need. And there again, by the way, in America, we don't have any real needs, I think. We're really bountiful in America. I mean, I go to places where it's just hard to believe how needy they are. And so God gives us the privilege of sharing with people in need. I think that's, if we can look at it that way, it's a privilege to be able to use some of the God's bountifuls that he's given to us to help those who are in need. Practice hospitality. Now, one of the things I think that we have in Papua New Guinea amongst the missionaries is in June, a lot of people are going on furlough with their children, so there'll be a lot of people leaving in June and a lot of them coming back and leaving in July, coming back in June. So there's a lot of moving, coming and going. But I noticed we always had people in the home. Shirley always had people in, and she would keep a list of all these people. But it was hospitality. I think it's something that tends to be lost now. But even there, I think it's important, taking people out for meals. And this is anywhere you go in a culture. When you eat with people, it's very significant. If people invite you into their home, or out for a meal, it's important. It's not, now sometimes it can be just like a business lunch. That's not it. But when I go to places like in Africa, when I go and I sit in the house and I eat their food, oh, that means a lot to them. You know, everything is different. It's India, it's one thing. You know, a lot of rice and curry and dal and that sort of thing. And then I go to Kenya and it's sort of like mush, corn, and they cook it very solid, and you cut it, and you have some tomato sauce and stuff on it. Many times don't even have meat. But anyway, it's hospitality. Bless those that persecute you. This I find very difficult. Bless and do not curse. I trust we never curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. I think this is very, very important. How much do other people mean to us? And if they do mean a lot to us, we're going to mourn when they mourn, and we're going to rejoice when they rejoice. And this is, do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. A lot of people are wanting to be name drop, know all these people who are important, but we should be associating with people of low position. Do not be conceited. I'll just read the rest of them, our time's gone. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is impossible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So I think as we look at God's word, the work of God's Spirit, I would encourage you this year to be thinking of assessing where are these gifts, not gifts, the fruits that God has for us in his Spirit. Where are the areas that I need to ask him to work in my life so that next year when this time comes around, we will say, oh, by God's grace, we've made some progress in that. The gifts that you have, are you using them? Can we as individuals increase the gift, use more of the gift that God has given us to help others? And then, of course, just obeying. And I remember when I was, a thing that changed my life was a year I graduated from high school. And there was a guy by the name of Jennings Barber. He came and he spoke in the old church. And he spoke one Saturday night. He says, if any of you are interested in really having a closer walk with Christ, he says, come and see me afterwards. He didn't even give an altar call, which was very common in those days. He said, come and see me afterwards. So I did one Saturday night. He said, I'm going to be down here in Scioto-ville next week. And he said, you come, and I'm going to show you how to study the Bible. So I went Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I was working for Ohio Asphalt Paving. I would come home at 7 o'clock. I'd go down there, and he showed me how to study the Bible from 7 to 9 for 5 days, and that changed my life. When I went away to college, I was studying the Bible, and that really, really changed me. And what he did was, what does it say? What does it mean? And what is the personal application? And I think if we are into the Word of God every day and we're saying, okay, what do I need to apply in my life? And I pray about that. That will make a difference. And I'm glad to think that most of you are doing that. But I would encourage you, if you're not, get into the Word every day and allow it to be making over your life the way the Spirit would like to do. Okay, I think we're going to close with...